Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're tuned in to Columbo Chronicles at Blog Talk Radio. Follow the mover and shaker, award-winning author and host, seen on TV and radio, Rose Columbo. Every Wednesday, Rose interviews prominent experts and authors on politics and social justice. Call in and listen or ask the guests a question at 646-564-9742. Now, here's Rose.
Hi, everyone. Here's Rose. Rose Columbo at Columbo Chronicles Live right here at Blog Talk Radio Network, where freedom is free and we are free to speak up and speak out. And tonight we're going to speak up and speak out about Hollywood. It's going to take a little different turn. We're going to have some fun, entertaining, educational, and enjoyable. Because tonight we have a really dynamic guest, and he just happens to be a veteran, well-respected Hollywood screenwriter whose credits include Cheyenne Warrior with Kelly Preston Dillinger and Capone, starring Martin Sheen, F. Murray Abraham, On the Doorway with Roy Scheider, and he also directed the movie, and his name is Michael B. Druxman, and he has a really long, long list about his achievements in Hollywood and a great story. So he'll be joining us in just a little bit, and while we're waiting for Michael B. Druxman to call in, let's talk about some entertainment for a change. It says that CNBC has had the worst month in 22 years. Wow, that's not good news. I think maybe they should rethink their programming or get on board. Because that's a very long time, 22 years, and to have your ratings fall to be the worst in 22 years. And celebrity Kim Zolciak turns heads with pictures of kids in a hospital. So you can look all this up on AOL Entertainment. On TV, a 9-year-old singer earns the golden buzzer on AGT. And Donald Trump, get this, was almost in Sharknado 3. According to sources, the producers of a made-for-TV movie asked Donald Trump to play the president 2 years before he won the White House. Hailey Baldwin flashes impressive six-pack abs. And Hailey Baldwin, Bella Hadid, Kendall Jenner, and Kim Kardashian all made a handful of notable outings this week. And on celebrity news, Prince Philip attends official final engagement. Prince Philip has carried out 22,219 solo engagements and 637 solo overseas visits since 1952, as well as he's authored 14 books and delivered 5,496 speeches. Can you imagine? Celebrity Alex Rodriguez spills details on his romance with J. Lo, and J. Lo is very beautiful. Celebrity Lauren Conrad shares first photo of her newborn, so if you want to check that out on AOL Entertainment. And TV, The Middle, is to end with season 9 on ABC. And in music, Chester Bennington got a mural goes up in L.A. Sofia Vergara poses nude for a magazine at 45. She shed her clothes for a totally naked magazine spread, and the photos are more revealing than you would expect. K. Kim Kardashian flashes cleavage in see-through top, and Kim Kardashian stepped out with sister Kendall Jenner in New York City, rocking cameo shorts and a free see-through top. And then there's Fox News. Tucker Carlson mocks his guest, his Cal Exit leader guest, and he asks, is this a parody segment? Well, Cal Exit, if you don't know, is a program, an agenda, a long-time agenda to turn California into Mexico. There's a radical group, it's named La Raza, and they've been working for decades to take California as part of Mexico. And as we know, Governor Jerry Brown, another celebrity, he is pushing for sanctuary cities paid by the taxpayers across California with our tax dollars. Well, he's intending to skyrocket the gasoline. So Fox News host Tucker Carlson, another celebrity, was so baffled by Cal Exit leader Shankar Singham on Tuesday night that by the end of the interview, he questioned, is this a parody segment? A ballot referendum to make California an independent country could come up for a vote next year if it reaches enough signatures. Carlson said that America might be losing a star from its flag for the first time ever, before explaining why Cal Exit leaders feel it could actually happen. That isn't what the taxpayers pay to do. Exit California, exit the United States of America. Seriously? Carlson called the move amusing and a joke, while noting he is from California. This would mean breaking up the United States of America, he said. Singham, the vice president of the California Freedom Coalition, wondered why the rest of America would even care if the Golden State became its own country, saying that many think of Californians as snowflakes and hippies. I thought we were surfers and housewives of Orange County and housewives of Beverly Hills. The two battled for much of the same segment, with Carlson asking how the new country would handle borders, immigration, and federal land in California. In fact, they would be defunded by the federal government if they were no longer part of the United States, says Rose. Carlson called out Singham for acting like he was already leading a separate nation. This is California, Tucker. We're not the United States. We're fundamentally different, Singham said. Dude, I don't know if this is like I have never met you, Carlson said. I've never heard of you. If this is a parody segment, you're punking me. Or you are really high and telling the truth, because high people do. Bottom line, are you being serious? Carlson wanted to know. So that was pretty funny. And that was a little take on entertainment on AOL. And you can look it up and read any of those stories that are mentioned under celebrity, TV, movies, and entertainment. So, well, our guest is attempting to get through. Let's take a little break, and we'll continue back with Colombo Chronicles Live. And our special guest tonight again is the well-respected, well-known Michael B. Drexman, veteran Hollywood screenwriter for about 50 years.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Listening is an art. An art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to columbochronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, columbochronicles.com.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up to Columbo Chronicles Live. And we're still waiting for our guests to get through. So in the meantime, I put up some little blurbs on my Facebook you may want to read. And they're food for thought. So, you know, we need to think and expand our minds. Did you know Hillary, as Secretary of State, funded the refugee agents with financial incentives and lifted the quotas for the Muslims who they are migrating into the USA? So in that case, they are migrating as many as possible for those financial incentives. And according to the whistleblowers, that's with very little or no vetting whatsoever. They are bypassing TSA. But the American people have to go through TSA. How is that? Another one, no reason to support fake refugees and their demands, just to fund the refugee agencies. Isn't that a simpler answer? No reason to go to war with China, just use communist China's Costco and the Long Beach port and naval base and negotiate with them. Wouldn't that be a better answer than killing lots of people? China owes America a big thank you for increasing China's economic status at the expense of the American citizens. They owe us a big thank you. America doesn't owe China anything. China owes America for U.S. jobs, manufacturing companies, and U.S. technology outsourced for 25 years. It appears the only reason George Soros isn't being shut down with United States charities is because too many within may be taking his donations. What do you think about that? Well, our guest, Michael B. Druxman, is about to join us. He is a famous, well-respected veteran Hollywood screenwriter. In addition to screenwriting with big-name stars and 50 years in the business, Mr. Druxman is the author of more than 15 published books, including several nonfiction works about Hollywood, its movies, and the people who make them. His life and his films, Make It Again, Sam, A Survey of Movie Remakes, One Good Film Deserves Another, A Survey of Movie Sequels, Charlton Heston, We all loved Charlton Heston. Merv Griffin. We all loved Merv Griffin. The musical From Broadway to Hollywood. Miss Dinah Shore. Everybody loved Dinah Shore. And Hollywood Snapshots, The Forgotten Interviews. He's also written four novels, Nobody Drowns in Mineral Lake, Shadow Watcher, Murder in Babylon, and Jackie Goes to Dixie, a book of short stories entitled Dracula Meets Jack the Ripper and Other Revisionists. He has a long, long legacy, and let's go ahead and welcome Michael B. Druxman to Columbo Chronicles and say hello. Hello, Michael
Hi.
B. Druxman. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine.
Fantastic. We're very happy to have you on our show because everybody loves to hear about Hollywood and movie stars, and you are like a legend because you were in Hollywood for at least 50 years. And
No, 45.
You have a lot of
45
years.
Don't make me older than I am.
Okay, 45 years. And so we're very excited to have you because we want to talk about your latest book, Jackie Goes to Dixie. But first, your latest book, Jackie Goes to Dixie, has all the makings of a film because about it. Yeah, and so why don't you tell us how you came up with this idea to develop the book's main character, Jackie Moss. Was he patterned after a real actor, or is he fictional?
Well, he's fictional, but when I was a publicist, in Hollywood for, you know, over 30 years, and I represented a lot of major comedians, Jack Carter, Jackie Vernon, Stanley Myron Handelman, Rip Taylor, and, you know, I spent a lot of time in Vegas with them, and so let's just say, you know, that's where the story started. But it's a fictional story. It's it's about a Vegas comedian, very hard-edged Jewish comedian, who it takes place in the 70s, and he's accidentally booked into a one-night gig deep in the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas, and it was a mistake. The people up there thought they were booking a country western singer by the name of Jake Moss. So Jackie gets up there, and you can imagine the reception he gets. He gets into a lot
That's
of trouble.
Funny.
Well, I enjoy writing funny. You know, when I was writing films, they very seldom let me use my sense of humor. So, you know, writing books and plays, I'm able to use that more often.
Well, it seems like this is going to be a really entertaining book because, and a good film too, because you talk about Jackie and Dave Arthur and his pianist, and they must perform before this angry audience.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then they get into some other problems and involving murder.
Well, it's a classic fish out of water story.
The local sheriff and so forth. So this is fantastic. I love these sorts of stories. And yeah, as you say, a fish out of water, a comedic novel that keeps you smiling, right?
Oh, I think so. We're Fred Fries, the son of Paul Fries, the voice artist, is currently recording an audio version of this, and he's about a third the way through, and he sends me each chapter as he finishes, and I'm laughing out loud. He's doing it so funny. It'll probably be available, you know, the audio will probably be available sometime in September, late September, I would say, if it keeps going the way it's going. But,
oh, that's fantastic. We'll have to look forward to that. So you really know Hollywood, though, because you've been a PR exec for top stars and for 45 years.
Right.
Who were some of the stars, and what did you learn from them?
Well, you know, I represented everybody from Howard Keel and Catherine Grayson to Abe Vigoda to Jack Carter, Barbara Hershey, I represented for a time. They're all different, you know. The it's interesting. If people, you know, pay their dues and are in the business for a while, you know, if it's not immediate success, you basically get two types of people. You get the people the people who are appreciative of their success, and you know, stay in the business for many, many years, and you know, become major stars. And then you get the ones that are angry at the fact that it took them so long, and the rejection, because you go in this business and there's, as you know, one hell of a lot of rejection. And you know, one of the clients I represented, and we got along very well, was Richard Castellano, who, you know, was in The Godfather, was Clemenza in The Godfather. And, you know, he was nominated for an Academy Award for Lovers and Other Strangers. But it wasn't easy for him. It took him many years, to get success. And he did not take the rejection well. And when he finally got to a point where he was successful, you know, he made it very difficult for the people who wanted to, give him jobs. And eventually, you know, I mean, nobody wanted to work with him. And eventually the jobs drew, you know, as talented a man as he was, the jobs dried up. And,
that's
a shame,
you know, because it is difficult to become a star in Hollywood.
Well, you know, there's the overnight successes. I won't mention his name because he's still alive, but I had one of my clients was, you know, in his day was probably the biggest name in the business, you know, and, he, you know, I mean, he was the teenage heartthrob, and then it went away, and, you know, it's been a struggle ever since. Pardon me. But, you know, it came to him too very quickly, and he really didn't have the background. He hadn't paid his dues, shall we say.
Yes, that has to be hard on a lot of people in the business. So without naming names, are there some Hollywood stars you're not so fond of?
That I represented? There were a few. There was one gentleman who I thought was a tremendous actor. You know, he'd never really had a big break. You know, you'd see him in films, and but I really thought he could make it. And you know, when I found somebody like that, I would take them on rather than a monthly fee. I would take him on a percentage, you know, sign him to a year on a percentage basis, which was fine with me, with him, and he, you know, I was getting impressed, and then he got a series, which turned out to be a very successful series, and he came into my office the day he signed the contract, and he said, I don't want you to be my press agent anymore. How can I buy myself out of the contract? And I said, I didn't want to go to court with him, so I gave him a price, and he wrote me a check, and that was it. But he was not easy, you know. You don't want to keep somebody that doesn't want to be with you because it's just a headache.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
It's like a marriage, you know.
That's true.
Yes, sometimes you have to get a divorce.
That's true. I've been through that.
Me too.
Yes.
But I'm not the headache.
We never are we?
No, not me.
It's always the other one, right?
It was.
Yeah.
So does anyone still owe you money by any chance? You don't have to name
names. Oh, actually, he's still alive, so I won't mention his name, but there is a very famous comedian that I got a judgment in small claims court, and I still never collected the money, so. Yeah.
I know a judgment's about as worth as much as the paper it's written on, right?
Well, unless you go on Judge Judy, because then they pay the judgment, you know.
See, there you go. You should have taken him to Judge Judy.
Absolutely.
I love Judge Judy.
Yeah.
I had a
client once, and it was a young girl, and she came in with her mother, and she had a couple pictures going. She was sort of hot, and career wise, and
both probably.
Yes, and she signed the contract. It was a percentage deal. And I started setting her up for interviews. And in talking to her, I said to my, I'm saying, my gut says, this girl was not 18. She could not legally sign a contract. And so I checked on it, and I was right. And I called her mother, and I said, look, I don't want a problem. You come in and you sign the contract. You co-sign the contract. Well, she never did. And so I took her to court. I took the mother to court, and I won the judgment. And I got paid on that one.
You got lucky.
I got paid on that one.
It's like going to Vegas, I don't know which one is better at the risk,
Well, I just don't, when somebody tries to cheat me, that gets my hackles up. This one actor, at least he came in and said he wanted to settle the contract, and he paid me for what I had done for him. So that was one thing. But, when somebody just tries to cheat you, I don't like that.
No, I don't either. I'm with you on that one.
There's a difference.
There's a big difference.
Yeah.
So how did you get started in show business?
Well, I wanted show business. When I was 4 years old, I saw Pinocchio. This is true. And Pinocchio goes, "Hi, diddly dee, an actor's life for me." Remember that song? I from that point on, there's nothing else I wanted. But initially, of course, I wanted to be an actor. But that went away in college. And but I always wanted to be in the business. And right after college, I'm from Seattle, University of Washington. Right after college, I got my car, drove down to Los Angeles. And, got a regular job and started directed a couple plays in town. And after about a year or so, I came up with this idea for a budget-priced publicity service, because I was talking to actors, were paying, we're talking in the mid-60s now. They were paying $500, $1,000 a month for a publicist, which back then was a lot of money. And so I came up with this idea for a low-price publicity service. I started advertising the trades, and immediately I started picking up clients. And within a couple, 3 months, I started picking up some very important clients, like Paul Francis Webster, the lyricist who wrote "The Love Is a Many Splendored Thing" and "The Shadow of Your Smile," and my name got out there. People, I got recommendations, and I made a very good living for about 35 years in the business.
That's a fantastic story. I love that. And we're going to take a little break and give you a chance to rethink, because when I come back, I do want to ask you, what advice do you have for anyone listening who might like to break into show business, because so many people do, that I'm sure that's on their minds now. So just hang in there, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up and Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, this is Columbo Chronicles Live, and thank you for joining us. We're talking to Michael B. Druxman, a veteran Hollywood screenwriter, popular, and he's written 4 novels, and he's written 15 published books. And he is a wealth of knowledge on Hollywood. So let's welcome back Michael B. Druxman. Hi, Michael. We're back.
Hello. Hi. You know, I was thinking about your question about advice. And about a month after I moved to Hollywood, I went to this little seminar that Jack Lemmon was talking. And, you know, people were asking him questions. And they asked, what advice would you give to people who are trying to break into show business? And his first thing he said was, don't. And but then he said, you know, if you want to do it, you've got to be young. Because the young are stupid. Because you need that kind of stupidity, because young can't conceive that they can fail, and that's what you need to stick it out. You know, it took me 10 years of trying to sell my first screenplay, and I don't know how, you know, I don't know how many screenplays I wrote during that 10 years, but 10 years of trying, and the way I finally got my first screenplay sold was one of my publicity clients and a very dear friend was Abe Vigoda. And I wrote a script for him, and he loved it. And he took it to a producer that he had just done a picture for. And that's how it got made. I wasn't happy with the way it turned out, but, you know, I had my first credit. And you know, this was, what was it, back in the early 90s it came out. I'm still getting residual checks on that. That's dumb. So.
Well, there's a lot of actors who started out young, but then they never got that big break until they were older. And then suddenly
Abe Vigoda,
rich and famous.
The first movie was The Godfather. And he was 50 years old when he got that, and he'd been in show business all his life. That was the first movie he ever made. And
do you think people who have the passion should just stick it out and just, you know, do their what they love to do and their passion, and because you don't ever know.
Well, no, that's true. I would say if you're going to come to Hollywood, have a way to make a living, I mean, you know, I made a very good living as a publicist for many, many years. And, but, you know, when I wasn't doing the publicity at night, or, you know, I'd be writing. And, you know, eventually I got to the point where I could make a, you know, I could make a living as a writer, as a screenwriter. I wrote, I've written 7 pictures, directed a couple, and, you know, I just got lucky. But, if you want it, if you want it and you really believe you have the talent, you should never give up. You know, one thing I tell people, take every reasonable opportunity that comes your way, because you never know where it will lead.
And that's, I think, for that's sure, and it can snowball into just about anything, you know. And
that's true.
I mean, even like people. I mean, you meet people that you never dreamed you were going to meet. At least I have, and I'm sure you have, and in your lifetime, and you're just like, wow, I can't believe I'm talking to this person right now, you know. It's a big-name person, and it's exciting. I mean, it's exciting to me that life kind of evolves that way. If you do what you love to do and you're doing it because you love to do it, things just happen.
I agree with you. I mean, I've sometimes just out of the blue. I had a call one day from a producer who was interested in one of my scripts. I had, you know, I had presented that script to him maybe a year earlier, and I'd never heard from him, totally forgot about it. And he, out of the blue, he called me and he says, "Is it still available?" I said, "Yes." And a month later, it was in production. So you never know.
No, you don't, you know. I mean, my book was shelved on the shelf for a long time, you know, and everybody said, because it was about injustices, people said, oh, you know, in the business, said, oh, that'll never get published, you know. But lo and behold, it got published.
Well,
so, no, you don't.
You just
no.
need the right person, that one right person. And there you go. And it's just
and
a matter
it's
of
the right person that sees your potential.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not everybody sees your potential, I don't think.
No, but a lot of people have their own agenda. You know, I mean, it's your potential, if your potential fits into their agenda.
Oh, there you go. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a
lot. Yeah.
And in your book, Jackie Goes to Dixie, it's on Amazon?
It's available on Amazon, and it's in both paperback and Kindle editions, and it's a fun summer read.
I can't wait to read the entire book. And so how do you get your ideas for your book?
This one, well, this one is, you know, inspired by some of the people I represent, but I'll tell you, I wrote a film. I wasn't happy the way it turned out, but it was called Dillinger and Capone. It came out in the 90s. It was with Martin Sheen and F. Murray Abraham. And the way I got the idea was, I was going to go see The Untouchables, the movie with Kevin Costner. And I'm driving to the movie, it just hit me. What if John Dillinger met Al Capone? Now, they never met, you know, but, you know, there is a controversy as to whether John Dillinger was really killed in front of the Biograph Theater, or was it somebody else, you know, and we won't go into that, but that was the basis of the idea of how that came about. I wrote a film, which I'm very proud of, called Cheyenne Warrior. The way that came about years before, I said to myself, what if you did The King and I as a Western? Not that Cheyenne Warrior is a musical, but, you know, the relationship. And it's about the relationship between a white woman and a Cheyenne warrior chief.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic idea there was The King and I. You never know where the ideas come from. I really don't.
One of my favorite movies is The King and I. I love that movie.
Yes, I love it too. I saw a production. I live in Austin, Texas now, and I saw a production here of The King, and I had never seen it on the stage before about a year ago. And I want to tell you, the guy who played The King, he was so much better than Brenner. I got to tell you. he was so much better than Brenner.
I love live theater anyway, so it's fabulous.
Oh, I
it's
do
such
too.
A great experience to be there, you know, and
yeah.
You feel like,
well, like
you're part of
play.
It.
You know, I've written a lot of plays about, you know, about Hollywood stars and things like that have been produced, and I enjoy the rehearsal process and all that sort of stuff.
So you really probably could retire now after 45 years in
Thank
the
you.
Business. So why do you still keep working and writing?
Well, you know, I have stories to tell. I'm just finishing up a new novel that will probably be out early next year, and I've got an idea for another novel. And what am I going to do? You know, I enjoy writing. I love storytelling.
Well, I'm a person who doesn't believe in retirement. I believe that word is obsolete, and I think if you're going to retire, it tells people you're not supposed to do anything anymore. Just stop thinking, stop creating, stop, you know, producing.
Well,
whatever.
You know, I don't.
And,
you know, the thing I'm retired to the point where I can say I don't have to get up and go to work every day, but I get up and
exactly.
I go to my office and I write. And you know, the idea of going to work, you know, is one thing, but you know, my work is in my office.
Exactly. I love it. And I feel the same way. You just keep doing what you love in life. So how does life in Austin, Texas compare with life in Hollywood?
It's quieter. I like living here. I kind of miss the business in a way, but the business is really not what it used to be. It's not the business I loved. I just don't feel a part of the film business anymore. It's changed so much. And
What are the changes that you think are different from when you were really into, you know, the highlight of your career?
Well, it's difficult. They don't make, you know, frankly, they don't make movies I want to see anymore. You know, I used to go, you know, on a good weekend, I used to go to two movies a weekend. I love film. And I haven't been to a movie theater for about 3 years. The last movie I saw in a movie theater was Zero Dark Thirty. And what was that, 3-4 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I saw that and Les Miserables within a week of each other, and I have not been, you know, if there's something I want to see, I'll wait till it comes out on Redbox and rent it. I just don't enjoy the experience of sitting in a movie theater anymore.
I have a large
TV, and I have surround sound, and so, you know, and also the nice thing about watching a movie at home, if you can put it on hold if you want to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, or go grab a snack, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. My dog wants to go out.
Yeah, you can, you know, at the movie theater, you can't do that. But it's gotten so expensive to go see a movie as well. So I don't know how a family can afford it any longer to go to the movies with kids, you know. But so you wrote a book, though, My 45 Years in Hollywood and How I Escaped Alive. What does that mean?
Well, it's actually one of two memoirs I wrote. The other one is called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Hollywood. It's basically both they're my experiences in Hollywood. And I, you know, I got out. You know, the first memoir was my 45 years in Hollywood, how I escaped alive. It you know, I survived. A lot of people don't survive. And, you know, I left on my own terms. Actually, I didn't. My wife wanted to move out of Los Angeles, and I went, you know, the wife rules on that kind of thing, so I went along with it. But I'm not unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Not unhappy that
yeah,
I'm...
well, you like Texas, so that's good. I mean, everything, you know, is everybody can get used to their environment, you know. It's up to you to, you know, adjust to your environment, I think. And be happy, you know. What difference
That's
does
true.
It make if you're in Texas or Hollywood? You know, you can
That's
still
true.
Communicate with people.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
So getting back to Jackie Goes to Dixie, what current Hollywood actors would you like to see star in a movie adaptation of your film should Jackie Goes to Hollywood?
Well, you know, I think Billy Crystal would be good. I think
he's so funny.
Yeah, I think Tony Shalhoub would be good in the part. I think I can never think of his name. There's another actor who I like very much. I can't think. His name. I don't know. I have a mental block. I always have to go look up the names. But I would say my first choice would be Billy Crystal. I think he'd be terrific in the part.
Mm. Yeah, you can't miss with Billy Crystal.
No.
No. So, if you had a message to give to young people about Hollywood, what would that message be?
Well, I would say if you know, they make a lot of films here in Texas, and people think they're in the business. They're not, because if you want to really have a serious career, you've got to move to Los Angeles. Because yes, they go film things all over the country, all over the world, but the business and the decisions are made in Los Angeles, and so. So come to Los Angeles and come prepared, because you never know when that break is going to come. And have a way to make a living while you're waiting for that break. And once again, take every reasonable opportunity that comes your way, because you never know where it'll lead.
Exactly. And so what's in the works for you now?
Well, I've just finishing up a new novel, which I would, you know, it's in the horror science fiction genre, which is always popular. And then I'm going to write. Then I'm planning my next novel is going to be based on it's in the gangster genre, and it's going to be based on. It's what I'm calling it is a novel based on fact and speculation, and that's all I'm going to tell you about it now.
Okay,
but as far as I know, there's never been a book on this particular subject.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah.
Well, why don't you, now that we're coming to the end of the show, why don't you tell us anything you want about Jackie Goes to Dixie and where the audience can purchase it for those that just tuned in late, and any other information you want to know, because I know it's on Kindle too, isn't it?
It's available on Kindle. It's in paperback. It's on Kindle. You can get it at Amazon. And sometime next month, hopefully it will be on audio. But I'm very proud of this book. I think it's, you know, I had a lot of fun writing it. It actually was a long time coming. The basic idea came to me probably 17, 18 years ago. And I started writing it as a screenplay and then switched it over to a novel. And it's, you know, what can I say? It's a fun summer read. You know, Barbara Eden said that, you know, she said it's funny.
She did. She said it's great reading, funny.
Yeah.
And I like the cover a lot. I really
thank
do.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we
and
try,
I want to thank
you. Know,
you. Oh, go ahead.
We tried to capture both the Vegas and the Ozarks in that cover. You know,
I think you did that.
Yeah.
I think you did it. And because it says Las Vegas, I can see that. And so, Michael B. Drexman, it was a pleasure to talk to you. I really
enjoyed
the interview. Oh, good.
Yes.
I'm so happy.
Thank you.
And you'll have to come back and talk to us about some of your other books. And
well, I'd love to. Anytime you want. I'm
fantastic.
Available. Fantastic. Yeah.
Okay. You have a great evening. And again, thank you so much.
Well, I'm going to bed now. You know, it's 10, it's almost 11 o'clock here. So.
Well, I'm pretty good at keeping
bedtime.
People up. Good night, Michael.
Okay, good night. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Michael B. Drexman has left the building, and he's going to go home and go to bed. And, geez, that was fun. It's always fun to talk about Hollywood and Hollywood stars and people in the business. And it's an exciting, exciting business. And like he said, if you're interested in being in the business, you have to go to Los Angeles, Hollywood, and be there where the action is. And you also have to be prepared for rejection and not take it personally. Just keep on doing your own thing and working towards your goal and your passion. And someday, you know, you just never know. You might be seen on the big screen. See, I'm a poet. And let's see what else is going on this evening. Because there are so many things happening in our country. But, you know, you can always watch a movie or read a book to escape. Escape from Columbo Chronicles, once you saw when I'm talking about all the issues of the day that are happening in our country. And I have to turn them off sometimes, like you do, I'm sure, because we want to try to balance our lives and have some fun and entertaining things as well happening in our lives. And reading books like Jackie Goes to Dixie will make you laugh. So get a copy of the book or read it on Kindle. And it is at Amazon.com. So we only have a few minutes here. So let's see what else I've talked about today. Why does the federal government and the Department of Justice allow George Soros to fund and pay protesters to riot in our cities under the guise of charities? I mean, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? And just a lot of crazy stuff going on in our country today that people don't understand. And we're trying to figure it out on Columbo Chronicles, but it's not always that easy to do. So let's see here. Let's find something fun. You know that there's fake news, so you have to be careful today what you think is true and what you think is fake, but you'll never get fake news on Columbo Chronicles. And that is every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 11 to midnight for all you sleepyheads out there on the East Coast or in another country. And if I woke you up, hey, you're in the right place at the right time every Wednesday night at Blog Talk Radio Network. And we have a myriad of guests, from authors to leaders to experts, and their wealth of information. And you probably won't get this information from many mainstream media programs, because I like to talk about a multitude of different issues that affect our personal lives. And even if it's fun and entertaining like tonight. But one thing that isn't fun is that the Pentagon investigators find security risk in government's immigrant recruitment program. And that's not a good thing. That's kind of scary for Americans when there are security risks of immigrants who have come across our borders and are causing problems in our country. And then the big news and politically is, could the A1 Schultz scandal bring down the Democratic Party? And it's defrauding Congress, internal cover-ups, illegal access, potential ties to Pakistan, ISIS, the Muslim Brotherhood, curious interests into all sorts of corruption that's going on in the government. So you don't, you know, people don't even have to watch a movie anymore because there's so many things happening in our own government. But some of the sad news is that two police officers were shot, and that's sad news. And that was in Marysville, California, and a manhunt is under investigation. So you have to pray for our law enforcement because some reason people are attacking law enforcers today, and it's just wrong. It's just sad, and they're trying to do their job, I'm sure. Of course, there's a few bad apples, but they can be weeded out. But people can't just go around shooting police officers. That's not good for our country or for the welfare and safety of the American people. And it's not a good example of how we should treat our police officers. I don't think people realize what a dangerous job it is. And not only dangerous, but they see a lot of things that you and I would probably never want to see, go into communities we would never want to venture into and try to break up fights and problems and domestic problems and so forth in homes we would never want to encounter probably. And so they have a really tough job. So we want to pray for our police officers, and want to pray for our legislators that they make the right decisions, because this country is hurting, and they're not recognizing that there are people out of work and Americans, natural-born Americans, out of work. There, every week somebody emails me about, how can we help this person? How can we help this single mom with children? Where can they get food and shelter? Where can they get a job and so forth? And it's not that Americans don't want to work. Americans do want to work. But we have an unexpected number of fake refugees in our country and that are competing for entitlement programs. And I hate the word entitlement because the welfare system was intended to give a hand up to the legal Americans who are down and out on their luck for a year or two. And it wasn't intended for lifetime living expenses. So we need to pray for our country, and I have to wind it up because that's all we have time for. And I want to say God bless you. God bless America. Tune in on Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. and on Wednesdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Click on follow and share. Columbo Chronicles at Blog Talk Radio Network.
Rose Columbo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Columbo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Columbo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Columbo Chronicles.